Tammy, there is some good news out there, though. And I guess it's that fact that none of this stuff has actually happened yet, right?
That's for sure, yeah. In fact, the only things that have changed have been improvements or at least holding the status quo for current employees. And by improvements, I'm talking about, you know, the TSP is implementing their new Roth option this year, which a lot of employees have looked forward to.
I told Mike Causey earlier this week, my theory is that these things will all wind up happening only to new hires or mostly to new hires. Do you think that's a reasonable theory?
I'm hoping that that's the case. And some of these do have provisions in the bills that would make them effective for new hires, such as the one that wants to reduce or eliminate, actually, the FERS basic benefit, which will only apply to new hires. That's the one by Senator Burr. That's a pretty, probably the most drastic one as far as affecting retirement benefits. But again, current employees wouldn't have to worry about that.
You're just back from doing some seminars for NITP, as you do from time to time. What is the mood like outside the Beltway? What are people thinking about what's going on here?
Oh, there's a lot of concern out there, and there's a lot of people just kind of holding their breath and ready to make a move if they hear something is going to change or there's going to be a deadline for certain current benefits that might be different in the future. So those employees who are currently eligible and can afford to retire in a good place because they have that choice where they can say, okay, well, if something does change, I'll go ahead and pull the plug and leave. The employees who are younger and with less service, who are farther from retirement, they're a little more worried about it because there's not much they can do other than just watch and wait and see what happens. But, you know, history is on our side here because over the past, 25, 30 years that I've been watching this, very few things have really become law that have negatively impacted federal benefits. Not that that can't happen now, and we are in different economic times than we've ever been in the past. But you have to also remember that when Congress does make changes to the law and it negatively impacts the voters, especially 2.5 million voters, that can have a negative impact on their next term in office. So
you must have started covering this stuff in nursery school, Tammy.
Oh, no, I'm older than you think.
the attitude that people have, though, you kind of touched on something there that I think is important to remember. Understanding what's going on is important, and knowing the possibilities are important, but there isn't really a whole lot that anybody can do about this stuff other than figure out what's really important to me and what do I want to do next in case something does happen.
I kind of look at it like tuning your stereo. You have to balance it all out. And for retirement benefits, the balance is between your pension, your savings, and for some, their Social Security, those who qualify. So, one turns up a little bit, the other one's going to turn down. So if the pension benefit does happen to get reduced, and due to the current pay freeze, a lot of people are looking at that as a reduction in their pension because it's based on the high three. So if you're going to have to work a little longer, then you turn that side of your tuner up a little bit higher. So, there's always variables that can be adjusted to compensate for what's happening. You just have to be willing to be a little flexible and go with the flow and understand that, everybody's in hard times now economically, and we have to just consider what's happening and take it as it comes.
I think I told you this story when we were talking about this issue this morning on the phone, and I've told this story on the radio a couple of times this week. Given all of the conversations that are going on around these issues, I sat down with our bill tracker on federalnewsradio.com and wrote out a list of the benefits as they would be if all of these pieces of legislation happened. And all of these things that we view through the lens of being bad for federal employees because they're less or than they have now. And I wrote them all out and showed them to a friend of mine who's an HR consultant in the private sector, does no government work. And I said, let me just ask you a question. If this was your benefit package and you had to go out and recruit or help a company learn how to recruit, figure out how to recruit, with the understanding that you could offer only about 85 to, in some cases, as much as 100% of what private sector companies could pay or other companies could pay, but you could also offer this benefit package, what would happen? And he said, we would have more applicants than we could figure out what to do with. We wouldn't know what to do with all the talent. And it just got me to thinking that maybe we get a little bit wrapped up in thinking about how bad things really are and don't use the question compared to what often enough.
Yes, the old half empty, half full.
Yeah, I guess that's right, yes.
Yeah, and I think that justifies why changing things for future hires is not going to be that devastating. Because if you look at current Fortune 100 companies, less than half of them still offer a pension. You know, less than half. And the average match on a 401k plan is 3%, not 5%. So if you have a kid coming out of college and you say, well, do you want to come work for the private sector where you won't have a pension, or do you want to work for the government where you might not have a pension, you know, it's not going to be that big of a decision. You know, you just have to save more for your retirement, hope that Social Security holds out. So
and
I think that would be the answer.
And I guess if you're concerned about whether you're going to lose the people that you already have, and we get a structure in place where these changes affect people who are coming in, but the people who stay get to keep these things, you've added a tremendous amount of incentive for people to want to stay. It, you know, all things being considered, if that becomes the deciding element, then I'll stay because I am going to continue to contribute to my pension, and I'm going to continue to get the match in my TSP account, and so on and so on.
Well, I think the basic concept behind having a pension in the first place was to promote longevity in that career. And I think the government has always had that going for it because of their pension benefits. It makes someone want to stay long enough to be able to collect that benefit immediately. So you're right. I think it'll keep people on the job longer and have fewer needs for layoffs and so forth.